You're probably asking why or wondering why I'm wearing a tie this morning. The reason is I'm actually missing a button. So it was either change my shirt, but I'd already got my shirt on. And as I was putting it on, I was like, okay, just throw on a tie, no one will notice. So that's why I look particularly smart today, is that I have a missing button. But today I really need to pray for myself before I share this message. It's been a very busy weekend, and it still is going to be a busy weekend for me. I'm not trying to get your sympathy or pity or anything like that. I'm just trying to explain to you where my head is. Yesterday, I conducted a ceremony for one of the young couples that got married in our church, Marinda and Andre. They're probably with family today. They're off to, I can say, don't tell her, yeah. They're off to Thailand for 2 weeks on honeymoon. So she doesn't know. So don't tell her. Don't tell her. She's only going to be surprised tomorrow. But it was an incredible ceremony. And I'm preaching this morning. And then at 12 o'clock, I've got a funeral in Wellington. I did share with you last week that Millicent Williams passed away. I will be taking a car, whoever wants to come with me. I know there's a couple of people who have already asked me if they could catch a ride at 12 o'clock. We're going to go through to Wellington. And then I'll be back here at 6. So I've got this like swirling number of messages in my head. One's for a wedding, one's for today, this morning, one's for later at the funeral, and one's for this evening. So I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord to just structure it and give it some order so it comes out right. Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, that I can submit myself before you today, Lord. I bring myself before your throne as an empty vessel, ready to be used by you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you used me yesterday. I thank you that you will use me today, Lord, but not because of who I am, because of who you are, Lord. It is your word that never returns void, Lord. It is your truth that sets us free, Lord. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so amongst us today, Lord. You are ministering to every single person who comes into this room today, Lord. Father, you know where they're at. You know personally where every single person is at in their life, what they're struggling with, Lord, what they're challenged with, what they're joyous about, what they're standing in faith for, what they're trusting a healing for. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and make this word alive in people's hearts, Lord. They'll not be just hearers of the word, but they will be doers of the word. Lord, we glorify you and we lift up the name of Jesus Christ above this place. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our hearts, Lord, because that is what you want. You can work with a surrendered heart. So I thank you, Father, that this morning your will be done. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. I'd like to share an article that was in Money magazine several years ago, and it basically told the life of a woman who saved 80% of everything she earned, investing it all in the stock market, and turned it into $22 million. So that's like 220 million rand. Within 50 years. So she turned it within 50 years. It sounds like an incredible success story, doesn't it? But you have to wonder whether her sacrifice was worth all the money she made. It's not that she made her money through illegal or immoral means. It was all honestly earned. But she alienated her family and she made no friends. She walked to work to save the cost of a bus fare. She wore clothes for years until they were tattered and worn. She limited herself to only spending a few dollars a week on groceries. In the middle of all this thrift, though, she never bothered to invest in any relationships. She died without a single friend. In the last 5 years of her life, she didn't even receive one personal phone call. Her stockbroker says, A big day for her was walking into the stockbroker's office to visit her stock certificates. Though her financial portfolio sounds successful, the story is a tragic illustration of a life driven astray by a misguided set of property priorities and choices. This lady earnestly pursued the wrong things. And we are all on this adventure called life. And we live it every single day. And over the course of days, and weeks, and months, and years, we are confronted with hundreds, and if you live long enough, thousands of choices. But choices of what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to get out of life? Some choices will be good choices. Some choices will be bad choices. Some choices will be very best choices. I was at Andre and Marinda's wedding yesterday, and it just made me think that one of my best choices in life was marrying my wife, Kat. Honestly, you can get it so wrong. People get it so wrong. But God blessed me with an incredible wife. So ultimately, we need to ask ourselves the following thing. What is the first priority in your life? What is the first priority in your life? And that's actually the title of my sermon this morning. It's entitled, What Comes First? What comes first? Because how you answer that question, that priority will influence all your choices that you make on this journey called life. So let me illustrate this. If you earnestly pursue to have lunch today, you're going to get it. You're going to have lunch. Some of you in this room earnestly pursue to become the top of your career, and you're going to get there. Some of you are earnestly pursuing a woman to marry or a man to marry, and you're going to get there. If your number one priority, for example, is to get super fit and win the Tour de France 7 times, you will do absolutely anything to achieve that. Maybe even cheat, maybe even lie, maybe even steal. So let me ask you again, what are you fervently pursuing in your life? The sum total of everybody's life in this room will be determined by the priorities that you choose for yourself and what you choose to be the number one, the greatest priority in your life. Now, what does Jesus have to say about all of this? Well, actually, he doesn't say anything too specific. He's quite general. But he does say something very bold, a very, very bold statement. And it's in Matthew 6:33. He says the following, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. The key to getting what you need out of life is to focus on what God wants out of your life. There are plenty of people in this world, gurus and consultants and motivational speakers, that will be telling you how to get what you want. In fact, it's a multi-million rand industry. But everyone's life is built upon these two questions. And I think I've actually got them up there. Where do I want to go, and what do I want to get? Listen carefully to the following 9 titles of best-selling motivational books. Number 1, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Number 2, Think and Grow Rich. Number 3, The Art of Happiness by the Dalai Lama, actually. Number 4, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Number 5, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, A Fable About Fulfilling Your Dreams and Reaching Your Destiny. Number 6, See You at the Top. Number 7, The Success Principles, How to Get from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. Number 8, The Power of Positive Thinking. And number 9, Awaken the Giant Within, How to Take Immediate Control of Your Mental, Emotional, Physical, and Financial Destiny. Now, these books and other books similar to this and other websites and many seminars give you all kinds of formulas and prescriptions. And some of them may even work. Some of them may even work. But Jesus says, if you put God first, don't just say you're going to put God first, but if you honestly put God first in every area of your life, you name the area, sexual, marriage, financial, relational, physical, vocational, in every area of your life, put God first. You really need to. Then Jesus says, I will guarantee you that God will take you where you need to go, and he will give you what you need. There are plenty of people out there who will tell you how to climb the corporate ladder or a ladder in life. Plenty of them. And they will tell you how to climb it fast and to get there quickly. But Stephen Covey, an author of another motivational book called The 7 Habits of Highly Successful, Highly Effective People, said, if the ladder is not leaning against the right wall, every step we take just takes us to the wrong place faster. That's true. That's so true. I know personal friends, in fact, in a part of my life, and many people that I've met in ministry and out of ministry, they climb that ladder like a rocket, like a rocket. And in their wake, they leave broken marriages, neglected children, poor health, and spiritual bankruptcy, because the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. There are some of us in this room who need to realign our priorities. We need to bring balance back into our lives. If our priorities are out of balance, our lives are going to be out of balance. So today, I want to take what Jesus said, and I want to give you 3 daily steps, daily actions that you can do every day. If you follow these steps, you will lead a more balanced life, more stress-free, less stress in your life, less worry, and a life that glorifies God. So number one, you must establish a connection with God. Number one, you must establish a connection with God. Jesus sets the stage with 2 words in the scripture, and it sets the stage for everything else he's going to say. He says, seek first. Seek first. Now, I'm going to give you some definitions of what the seek means. Seek means to strive after diligently. This is from your Oxford English Dictionary. So this is how people define the word. Seek. To strive after diligently. Attempt or desire to obtain or achieve. Something you really go after. Seek. And it's a continuous tense. Jesus is saying, keep seeking every day. Keep desiring to obtain every day. Go after something on a daily basis. First. What does first mean? First means before anything else. Coming before all others in time or order, rank or importance, in preference to something else, before some other thing or event. So what do we seek first? Jesus tells us we ought to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. You don't have to pray and fast to know what your top priority used to be. You don't need to seek counsel, not from me, that's for sure. You don't have to discuss it. You don't have to debate it. You don't have to get various opinions on the matter. Jesus says our number one priority in life is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if everything we do in life is filtered through those 2 things, it'll change your life. Where you work, how you spend your time, the person that you're going to marry, the person that you date, how you spend your money, the things that you buy, the things that you give away. If you're always asking these 2 questions, is this for the kingdom? Is this going to relate to his righteousness? if you make sure that from today, for the rest of your life, that everything you did is for God's kingdom and to express His righteousness, do you understand how that will transform your marriage? Do you understand how that will transform your job? Do you understand how that will transform your finances, your relationships, your family? Let me illustrate it for you. Say someone does something harsh to you or some kind of injustice, and you need to decide how to respond. Okay? So you need to ask yourself two questions. How would a person in the kingdom of God respond? And the second thing is, what would be the righteous thing to do in this situation? Now that kind of narrows down the options a bit. When that reckless driver cuts you off on the road, it'll narrow down your options. When that waitress is rude to you in the restaurant, it's going to narrow down your options. When someone pushes in front of you in the queue, it's going to narrow down your options. When someone blames you for something that you didn't do, it's going to narrow down your options. Yeah. The only way you can know what God wants is if you connect with God. That's the only way you can really understand what He wants for you. You have to know Him so that you can hear Him. That is why it's important on a daily basis, the first thing that you do is an experience, a connection with God. The first thing every day is to experience a connection with God. King David knew this. Read Psalm 5:3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. David said, the first thing I do every morning is I get up and I connect with God. I know some of you are saying, well, I'm not really a morning person, and nor is my wife, Kat. In fact, sometimes in the morning when she wakes up, I struggle to think maybe, does she even know there is a God out there? But after her first cup of coffee, she's back right as rain. But I accept that not everybody is a morning person. But listen to Mark 1:35, talking about Jesus. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. The greatest king of the Old Testament, David. And the greatest king that ever lived, Jesus, both understood the importance of connecting with God before anything else in their day. Now let me explain to you what connecting with God is. If you're going to seek the kingdom, if you're going to seek the kingdom first, it makes sense that you need to seek the king. Is that obvious? You need to seek the king. So the first priority ought to be to seek the king of the kingdom. It's not enough to say, I'll seek him when I get around to it. Or, I'll seek him when I'm not so busy. Or, I'll seek him when I find some time. Jesus says you must seek him first. First. Hear me out. I'm not trying to be legalistic, okay? I'm not saying that if you don't get up early every morning and spend the first 30 minutes reading your Bible and the next 30 minutes praying, that you are not right with God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, what I'm not trying to tell you, I'm not trying to tell you when to have your quiet time, or how to have your quiet time, or where to have your quiet time, but I'm telling you to have your quiet time. You know, for me, and I've shared this many times from this pulpit, I hear God loud and clear when I go up the mountains. Distracted from everything, my cell phone doesn't have a signal. The deeper and higher in the mountain, it seems to be the closer I connect with God. But for some people, it's driving in the car. For others, it's in the shower. For others, it's lying under a tree. Make sure you position yourself in places where God can speak to you. But I will tell you this. If you get up 15 minutes earlier every day, just 15 minutes, I guarantee you that if you take the first part of the day, and you come before God, you read God's word, you let Him speak to you, you spend time talking about what you're going to face for the day, He will give you strategy. You must connect with God. I guarantee you, your days will become better, your life will become smoother, and your Christianity will become stronger. because you're making that first priority to connect with God. There is only one place God wants in your life. He wants first place. He wants the first moments of every day. He wants the first day of every week. He wants the first part of every paycheck. He wants to be first, not second, not even a close second, and definitely not third. He needs to be first. There are a lot of choices fighting for our time in life. There are many decisions to be made, and there are a lot of priorities to choose from. So we need to get our priorities straight. Number one, you must establish a connection with God. This leads to step two. You must release control over to God. Now, how do you know that you've done the first step? How do you know that you have connected with God? Some of you have walked in here today and you're giving an hour and a half of your time, but you're not connecting with God. Some of you read the Bible and pray and have some warm, fuzzy, emotional experiences and still don't connect with God. So how do you know for sure that you've connected with God? It's quite simple. Jesus says, if you really connected with God, the most important thing in your life every day will be one thing, to make sure His will, what He wants, will become the biggest part of your life. That is why He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. A kingdom is a place where the king rules and the king reigns. So when you seek God's kingdom, comprehend what you are asking for. Comprehend what you are seeking for. You're saying, I understand there's a throne in my heart. There's a throne in my heart, and somebody needs to sit on that throne. And I understand that the person sitting on that throne is going to call the shots in my life. At any given moment, there's going to be one of two people on the throne of your heart. It's either going to be God, or it's going to be you. Either you're going to do what you want, or you're going to do what God wants. When you say, Lord, I seek you first, you're saying, I abdicate the throne. I'm getting off the throne in my heart. I want you, Lord, to sit on that throne in my heart. I want you to be president of my life, not resident of my life. You may be sitting here today and asking this question, well, when do I get to do what I want to do? When do I get to seek my desires? Well, here's the beautiful thing. When you decide that you want what the king wants in your life, you always get what you want. I came across a great quote. I think it's up here. If your will is that God's will always be done in your life, then your will always be done. Here's the big question. The big question. How do you know that God is really in control of your life? How do you know that God is the number one priority in your life? You don't have to wonder. You don't have to think. And you definitely don't have to guess. It is obvious. It's very easy. You just need to check out two things. And you can determine all by yourself. You certainly don't need a pastor or an elder or someone else to tell you. If God is the number one priority in your life, and He's in control of your life, look at two things. Your calendar schedule and your wallet. How do you spend your time? And how do you spend your money? How you answer that, those questions, you will see how much of a priority and how much in control God is in your life. Everything else is just talk. It's hot air. We can say what we want to say. We can sing what we want to sing. We can pretend what we want to pretend. When God is really in control of your life, you will see it in the way you spend your time. There are 525,600 minutes in a year. How have you spent that 525,600 minutes in the last year? What have you spent your time on? Do you make time to serve God? Do you make time to serve others? Do you look for opportunities to share your testimony with the world out there? If God is in control of your money, your spending will reflect this. Follow your wallet, follow your money. What you spend the most money on is what is the top priority in your life. Do you bless other people? Are you willing to give God what God wants you to give him, to show him that he is first in your life? So Jesus is telling us, if you want your priorities to be right, number one, you must establish a connection with God. Number two, you must release control over to God. And the last one, the last step, number three, you must exhibit the character of God. You must exhibit the character of God. When you seek God privately, people will see God in you publicly. If there's anything that this world needs to see, it's those who claim to be followers of Christ reflecting the character of God. You will never make a difference in this world until the world sees a difference in you. You will not make a difference in your neighborhood until your neighbors see a difference in you. You will not see a difference in work until your coworkers see a difference in you. You will not see a difference in your school until your students see a difference in you. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 6, he says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." He's saying we should desire to be right, to do right, to live right, to think right, to speak right, to act right, just as a hungry and a thirsty man seeks for water and food. Do you know what the benefits are? Because here is where it connects to you. Do you know what the benefits are of getting your priorities right? Do you know what they are? To find out the benefit of seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness above everything else, you need to put the scripture that I shared with you at the beginning. It's Matthew 6:33, there you go. So to read this scripture in context, and you will find out what the benefit of getting your priority right is. So this chapter in Matthew is all about worry, about worrying. You can have all the money in the world and still be a person who worries. You can have perfect health and still be a person who worries. You can have a fantastic marriage and still be a person who worries. You can have perfectly obedient children and still be a person that worries. Jesus says, the secret to not worrying is having your priorities right. And I'm going to read from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. So this is Jesus speaking. "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more about food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's a different translation. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. If you put God first today, you will not have to worry about tomorrow. Think about how worrying inverts priorities. That means it mixes up your priorities. If you start worrying about your job becomes more important than your family. If you start worrying about your money becomes more important than your relationship with God. If I start worrying about me, I start to become more important than others. Jesus says, every time you worry, it's a sign that your priorities are out of order. Can you stand with me this morning? I'm actually going to ask you, if you're comfortable, just to close your eyes and try and block out the distraction of the world and just ask Holy Spirit that you'll help us to focus on what you want to say to us. So my brothers and sisters, in summary, whatever priorities you choose, they will determine the quality of life, your quality of life, and the productivity in your life. What is first place in your life at the moment? What is first place in your life at the moment? I don't know what it is. But get really honest with yourself today. Check where you spend your time. And follow your wallet. What is in first place? If it's not Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone, it's in the wrong place. If your family is before Jesus Christ, your family is in the wrong place. If your marriage is before Jesus Christ, your marriage is in the wrong place. If your work or your business is before Jesus Christ, your work or your business is in the wrong place. If your kids are before Jesus Christ, your kids are in the wrong place. We're all going to pass away from this world one day. And when that day comes, all that matters is, did I make the right choices? Did I make the right decisions? Did I have the right priorities? Let me ask you this morning, is your life drifting? Is your marriage out of line? Are you stunted in your spiritual growth? Is money your master rather than your servant? I think it's time for a realignment for many of us. It's time to regain balance in our lives. If you say that's me, how did you know? We'd like to pray with you. In fact, can I just see by a show of hands, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. Is there anybody whose life seems out of balance? Who needs to reset their priorities in their life? I'm not even looking, my eyes are closed, and I just want you to show the Lord that you are serious about wanting change. I thank you for those hands. I thank you, and I know there's people there who are not bold enough to put up their hand to show the Lord that you need his help. I can tell you this. Jesus says, seek me first and my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will take you to a level you never thought possible. Thank you, Father, that you see every hand and every heart here, Lord. Father, all of us, every single one of us in this room, need to focus our eyes on your throne in heaven. Lord, teach us, show us to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness above everything else. And Lord, your word tells us, it's a promise, when we do this, everything else will be added unto us. Lord, I just thank you that this morning, the idols in our lives, Lord, you have shown to us, Lord, the things that we spend most of our time on, Lord, most of our money, the things that are above you, Lord. Anything above you is an idol. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's your career. Whatever it is, Lord, we know that we can trust you. Come, Holy Spirit, and change us, Lord. We cannot do this on our own, Lord. We are fallible beings. We are human, Lord, and we err. But your Holy Spirit resides in our hearts. So I pray, Holy Spirit, that each day as we walk this week, every time we take a wrong priority choice, you will convict us in that small, still, quiet voice. Convict us, show us, shape us as we walk this road as Christians, Lord. It's an impossible road to walk without you, Lord. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, it's a process. So work these things out of our lives. We don't want them, Lord. We definitely do not need them, Lord. We want to lead a life that glorifies you. So we thank you, Father, just for your word today out of Jesus' mouth to come and change our lives. We speak it into the spiritual realm and we trust you to do the work. In Jesus' name, amen.